This is the Taser Update for March 19th, 2017. I am Filippo Genofu.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I am Brandon Parkins.
And I'm Chris Elogi.
And this is a little bit of a special show this week, as we've got our fourth guest appearance on the Day Zero Update. I'd like to bring on Mr. Mike Torillo from V7 Entertainment. Hey, Mike, good to join us.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me. Yeah, glad to join in.
Yeah. And I would also like to extend my condolences to Brandon, because out this week is Mass Effect Andromeda, so we won't be seeing him for the next 2 weeks, I think.
I'll send out a bottle with a message every once in a while.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's your PSA for this
week. See, the weird thing is, my time, it's especially going to be a lot of time, because on top of Mass Effect, we're also doing this big yard sale in the neighborhood, and we're getting all that stuff ready for the next couple weeks.
Oof. So, yeah. So if people disappear from your friends list for extended periods of time, it's probably Mass Effect Andromeda, just saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, we brought Mike on because they've got a brand new game coming out in a couple of weeks called Old Time Hockey. When we first saw this back in, I think it was October that the first trailer for this game came out. I posted the message on Facebook, and Patrick's immediate response was, all of my yes.
Yes.
So, yeah.
It's the game that I didn't realize we needed to have.
Yeah. So, yeah, Mike, what, can you tell us a little bit of background of V7? Like, where are you guys from? How long have you guys been in the industry?
Sure. So we're located up in Canada, in Vancouver. We've been working on the game for quite some while. Like, we're a small indie team. We do various projects, and Old Time Hockey was a lot of a passion project of ours. We created it a lot. I can tell you, like, I grew up playing a lot of hockey, classic hockey games, and we just wanted to create an experience where, you know, I'm on the couch with some buddies, where we're, you know, having beverages of our choice.
It's okay. This is an adult show. Beer is involved.
So, yeah, we'd have beers, you know, grab a bunch of buddies and just split on the couch and have that old school experience. We haven't really done that in a long time. And that's what our real primary focus of creating Old Time Hockey really was, just to recreate that thing again.
So what about the time period that you set the game in? Where was the impetus for that?
Well, we knew we wanted to have a different brand of hockey that, like, say NHL does and whatnot, where it's, you know, they have the, and we love NHL, but it, you know, it's squeaky clean. It has to adhere to a nice image. And we're old school hockey fans, of course, being up in Canada, and I've been a hockey fan my whole life. So I kind of always hearkened back to how it used to be. And we wanted it to be over the top, and we wanted to have all these over the top moments. So it really fit kind of that older vibe where, you know, back then, you know, there would be full-on bench brawls. There would be, you know, you can find moments in history where they did fight with the sticks. And then, you know, we wanted the blood, and we wanted all of that stuff, like, latent in there.
What's like the old joke, you know, you go up to I went to Canada to see a fist fight and a hockey game broke out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we always joked around about that. Like, I would go to, you know, as a kid, I would go to games and if I didn't see a fight, I'd be like, man, I missed out.
I got gypped.
Exactly. Man, where are my fights? I need some of that. A lot of that all is getting out of the modern game, albeit because you know, back then players, they would have part-time jobs in addition to being hockey players sometime, and they would smoke and drink on the bench, kind of like that that old time. These days, you know, they're pristine professionals and all that, because they get paid millions and billions of dollars, so they have to be in the best of shape. But we like the idea of blue collared hockey and that era, and that's why we placed it in that time.
Yeah. Now you guys did a lot of like atmospheric work for the game. Obviously, you got the arena sounds are very authentic, I find. That soundtrack that you guys picked out is just spot on brilliant.
Really nailed the era.
Yeah.
Yeah. The soundtrack, we really wanted to get stuff that, you know, that would typically be on an organ at a hockey game, and then really retro old school versions of that type of the song. So you gotta believe me, I've watched so many hockey games from the 70s, watching like VHS tapes or the NHL vault, just to see how things were back then. I've probably watched more 70s hockey or older than modern day hockey this season. So I've lived this weird past for the past little while. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, we should probably talk a little bit about the gameplay. And was it intentional to make the tutorial/story mode absolutely brutal?
Yeah, that was a bit by design. Like when I mentioned we wanted to have an experience where you can play with buddies and stuff on the couch, that was a focus. But for an add-on, we did create a story mode where we wanted it to almost be, again, retro and almost brutal, like those NES games, where it was like, my God, these are hard.
It worked. And
we wanted to provide that experience of like, you're taking a shit team and trying to get them to the championship, and we're trying to get you to play really physical hockey throughout. By the end of the season, you are almost tasked to, you have to injure the other team so that they can't play anymore. Without giving away, and it is difficult, but that was by design, to have again that almost NES feel with some of those games. So yeah, we have a bit of both there, where we hope like when you're playing with buddies, like it, you can have a few beers and you can score and you can club each other over the head and punch each other out. Stuff, and then if you really want to get into it, you can ride along this crazy season.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of one of my concerns about the game as it stands right now is I kind of feel like if somebody jumps into the story mode right away without knowing that the exhibition is like way more open,
yeah,
they might be turned off a little bit. So yeah, is that something that you guys have thought about?
Yeah, it was something we did consider, and we have played a bit with our difficulty levels and whatnot, and we spent a lot of time just trying to figure out what's that right sweet spot. I'm not saying we've completely found it yet, but yeah, with the story mode, finding that place where it's not too crazy hard was a bit challenging. At some points early on, it was like if you put the game on hard, like it's super hard, even for us devs that play it every day. Like, wow, this is like punishingly Dark Souls level of difficulty.
If I could cut in for a second, I think what the only thing that really got me on that was that there was no real tell. That was what was going on. There wasn't anything that said, you know, don't worry so much about winning games right now as just meeting your objectives.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the, like, I thought I was supposed to go out there and just turn things around and win. And That first night, yeah, I almost tested a DualShock 4's flight ability. I have never even gotten close to before, but once I figured that out, it was great.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Now that's sort of been you've had a similar experience than a lot of people we've heard that first little bit, man, it's tough, and we did realize like this is a bit counter to what usually you have in a game where we ease you into it, because we wanted to really pound away at, like, this team is bad. And once you get over that hump, I think I agree with you that we could do a better job getting that message across, where once you do get a bit over that hump, it gets better, and then you start feeling like, oh, okay, my team, I'm getting better, and my team seems to be getting better.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So have you guys like considered looking at maybe an LNAH license for a future project, perhaps?
Maybe potentially. Like at this point, once the game is out, everything is up on for consideration again, and we're just happy to honestly see how much reaction and everybody's interest in the game, because honestly we were a few guys. We started out in a garage making this game, and then we were making it because it was a bit of a, you know, it's a passion project for us. And now we've been hearing all these fans, like people like yourselves, that just like, oh wow, that looks really cool, and once it's out, we want to like take note of everything and be like, okay, like what are the what's the next thing we should do, or what can we do with this? Yeah.
Well, you built a solid base to build on, so yeah, I'm hoping that this is not the last that we see of it.
So, it's a real breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah. So were you guys aware that you were sort of writing the Slapshot 2 sequel that we actually all wanted?
Well, we're, in addition to all the hockey I watch, like we've watched we can recite a lot of Slapshot, because we were heavily inspired by all the not just Slapshot, but all the, you know, sports movies and stuff like that. We were completely inspired by everything from that era. And then even video games wise, we were inspired by just like old arcade video games, like, you know, NBA Jam or Blitz, or even I wanted to somehow sprinkle in a bit of Tecmo Bowl in there and stuff. So it was just tons of inspiration. And then, yeah, we were recently told like Slapshot is having their sort of like 40th anniversary, I think, or 45th anniversary this year. So it was kind of cool to know that and it was completely coincidental. Like, we had no idea. We were like, oh, geez, Slapshot.
Yeah. It's like, 40 years old.
It's 40 years old.
Oh my God.
Gee, it is. And that is kind of the what we wanted to capture, like people that still can connect with Slapshot or any sports movie back in the day. We wanted to present something that kind of existed in that moment.
Yeah. Well, I'd say you succeeded there. And talking a little bit about the, you know, your influences. So were like advanced NHL style controls always part of the plan, or was that something that came in later?
That actually came in a bit later through playtesting and stuff. Like with a lot of current or modern fans, we realized we wanted to have something a bit more familiar, and then when we were trying to craft that season mode, we wanted to have a bit more depth as a reason as to why you're playing. I think it's about 50-something games throughout the season.
Yeah.
So having it, you know, a two-button experience through 50 games, we felt over the course was a bit too much. So we were trying to do a bit more depth there. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it pretty much does. Yeah. So I do have one other question related to the soundtrack of the game. I know we're jumping around all over the place, but you know, this is a passion project of mine. I noticed within 30 seconds of booting up the game, you get an F-bomb. So that was great. that version of Old Time Hockey by the Donnybrooks, I noticed was edited in some very interesting ways. Was that because you're concerned about the NHL player references, or did you just want it to fit better with the game you were creating?
I'd say it's a bit of both. We want to create this, everybody recognizes the old NHL references, and those were fantastic, and that's the actual original cut of the song. But we wanted to invite players and overall experience. It's like, what is this Bush Hockey League? Like this alternate reality of hockey. So having these changing the names in the song itself, we wanted to have that. We wanted that updated. So it kind of fits this whole universe, if I could call it that. Where who are these guys? Just this, they're playing in a league literally called Bush Hockey. so that was a bit different. And then we originally lucky enough just to find the Donnybrook song, and they had a song called Old Time Hockey. And we thought, like, that's fantastic. Let's try to get that in. Yeah. And we had so much fun just trying to find like the soundtrack and the music. And have it reflect that time.
We're probably running a little bit out of time here soon, any of you guys have any other questions that you want to ask Mike?
Well, I was just looking through the menus, and I noticed that there is a beer mode control option.
beer mode is a thing where you can play with one hand, so the thumbstick you control your player, and then the two trigger or shoulder buttons you can shoot, pass, and hit, and everything. And we called it, you know, and it came out of an idea, like, we were playing, and we thought, wouldn't it be great if we could just play with one hand so we could still drink with the other? And hence, beer mode was then formed. Albeit, like, we've had a bunch of games playing with it, and after you've had, I don't know, like, 5 or 6 beers, you're starting to just wonder, like, oh man, what's going on? it's like when you try to play, like, Gran Turismo or Need for Speed while having a bunch of beers, and also you're trying a hard time just staying on the road. So our beer mode, though, has gotten a lot of interest, and we hope players create their own drinking games, or, you know, we always felt like nothing goes better together than beer and hockey. I always said, like, you know, it's like bacon and eggs. You gotta have beer and hockey. If I go to a hockey game, I need to have my beer.
Yeah, it's a requirement.
I think there's like a law in Canada that says you have to have a beer when you go hockey.
Yeah, that's strictly enforced.
And we wanted to even price. I remember joking with the guys, like, can we price the game as the same amount as, like, you know, a case of beer or something? Like, I want people to like download this game and grab a case while they play.
Yeah. So is there anything that we haven't touched on that you'd like to bring up, Mike?
No. I think, like, I think you guys covered most of it. Like everything, I'm glad to have, to share how the team built this game and some of our thoughts and stuff. And thanks for the questions.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Mike. I know you've got another call to jump onto here in a bit. So we'll let you go. And thank you very much. And we look forward to getting some streams going for Old Time Honky in the next couple of days once the embargo lifts. So,
yeah.
All right.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, take care, buddy.
You're welcome, man.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right.
And we're back. You've been joined by Dan Vittorio now, managing editor of SmashBad.com, and we're going to jump right back into the news.
All right, let's do it.
So, a couple of Sonic stories. Sonic Mania has been delayed till summer.
Boo!
That's a bad thing. We don't want that.
Ugh.
Yeah. Why
is it? Sort of a compensatory hype. They did kind of give us a tease of Flying Battery Zone making a remixed comeback, so that's something.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, we take the bad with the good, I suppose. Well, given everything else that's coming out right now, I think maybe, you know, having something to play this summer would probably be a good thing, so.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, let's try to look at it that way.
There's no room for it right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we got that going on. But they also showed off Sonic 2017 has been renamed. It's now called Sonic Forces.
I'm not feeling it.
It looks like a 3D Sonic game. And,
only grittier.
Yeah. I mean, it looks nice, but...
It looks nice. The whole sort of, like, bringing in the alternate universe Sonic at the same time.
Yeah.
Not sure where they're going to go with that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just...
It could be interesting or it could be hot garbage, but I can't see it being amazing.
Yeah. It's all really going to depend on how that game ends up controlling, because... Yeah. Otherwise, it's just going to be a total mess.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. I mean... Hey. I don't hate those new ones as much as most people do, but I just hope they fill it with actual Sonic levels than the other bullshit that we usually have.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I don't mind an overworld so much, but...
Yeah, it kind of... It can get boring, especially if that overworld is basically only just used to get from one place to another, and there's no real purpose to it like there was in Sonic Adventure, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's that. But... Hey, if one of these, at least there's two Sonic games, and one of them will probably appeal to us, and the other one has a shot at it, but that's got to convince
us. I'm not betting on it.
You got a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, so I got a 50-50 chance.
Track record hasn't been so hot recently, so.
Yeah.
They should probably just take the team working on Sonic Mania and say, okay, you guys are the new Sonic team.
I'm betting that's probably what's going to end up happening. Yeah, so. Anyways, we got some Sony moves. Well, technically, this is a move. PlayStation Now is expanding. They are adding PS4 games to the mix later this year.
Yay.
Subscription plan is still the same price, so $20 a month. But $20 a month, and you get PS4 games. Now it's starting to make a little bit more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this must have been what they were hinting at as far as having plans for something that would necessitate cutting a bunch of the other platforms.
Hmm. Yeah. It's still streaming.
No, they don't want people playing those PS4 games on the PS3.
Yeah, that would be that'd be bad. I didn't even think about it that way, but yeah. my PS3 could play PS4 games.
That'd be crazy. I mean, as Phil was saying, you know, it's still streaming, so you're still going to have that latency. So I would still say the Xbox Games Pass is still better because you actually download those.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been playing around with that, actually, and it works exactly as you'd expect it to, basically.
Yeah.
It just
seems like a good ploy for getting PC people that don't want to pay for the PS4, but still want to dabble in the games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can get $20 a month out of them, that's better than nothing.
Yeah, I mean, if you're somebody who's on the PC and you really want to play Uncharted, but you don't want to spend $300 on a PS4, this might not be a bad thing.
All right. So,
yeah, I don't get where all the hate for this announcement is coming from, but this is the internet, so there's hate for everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's either hate or it's the best thing that's ever happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And heaven help you if you claim it's anything else.
Yeah. Good. In other Sony news, the Play Collective promotion is going to kick off this week. There's some pretty darn good-looking games in this thing.
Mm-hmm. You got everything.
Everything.
You got everything that starts this week.
Yep.
I just got a code for that, but if you watch the trailer for that, it features narration by the late British philosopher Alan Watts, which supposedly the game actually has that too, so... That seems like nice, silly fun.
Yeah.
Huh.
Having this guy talking about philosophy that kind of doesn't make any sense, but also perfectly fits the game because there's not really much logic going on with the game.
Mm-hmm.
Next week on March 28th is Rain World.
Yeah.
The Slugcat game. That looks real good. Not really an indie, but on April 4th is Parappa the Rapper Remastered.
Yeah, that doesn't really qualify as indie.
No,
but it highlights the whole thing.
But it's like the original indie.
Yeah.
It's not on studios. Made that way back in the day. As this weird, like one of the best examples of like weird Japan in a PS1 era.
Yeah.
And that's going to be $20, I think. All these have pre-order discounts for PS Plus. It's usually about like 20%, I think. April 11th, a game we've talked about, Cosmic Star Heroine.
Yes.
Finally. When is that one coming? Pre-ordered
this.
11th.
April 11th.
Yep. All right.
That's soon.
Very soon.
I know they pre-ordered that before I remembered that I backed it on the Kickstarter, so I get it then.
Oops.
That's $15, 20% with the discount. Full Throttle Remastered is April 18th. So you kind of finally get that game coming out. And I think that date leaked at GDC. Sony's booth had dates of like upcoming games.
Yeah.
So up here's this game nobody's announced the date for yet.
Oops.
Yep. That one is $15, $12 with PS Plus. And the final game of this promotion is April 25th, What Remains of Edith Finch. The new game from Giant Sparrow, who made Unfinished Swan.
Yeah.
So this seems like another really cool game, especially I've been hearing people talking about actual parts of the game.
Yeah.
And that sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
Basically play, I think it's Edith? Yeah, Edith. You are exploring the Finch House, which essentially... as your new family members come in, they build like their own extension to the house, and that is where they also die. So then you experience like the last day of their death, and I guess come to some ultimate conclusion.
Okay.
I don't know. Sounds like a
mindfuck game.
Yeah, it's like one of the things we definitely seen in trailers is like becoming a cat. It's various animals, and it's like okay, there's some interesting stuff going on here.
Yeah,
that's $20, $16 with PS Plus. Yeah, that seems like a pretty good list of games.
Yeah, that's not too bad at all. I mean, I'm glad that Sony's doing this kind of thing. And
yeah. The interesting thing is they call the beginning is I'm happy to introduce you to Play Collective, our new name for special game promotions at PlayStation Store. Play Collective will encompass different sales and campaigns for digital games. The first one starts on March 21st with everything.
Oh, so they could just do this whenever the heck they want.
Yeah, it seems like there might be homogenizing these promotions and just here's Play Collective in spring.
Yeah.
Play
Collective really fall sale.
So. I think part of this, they also have a it's technically a buy one, get one. They call it 2-for-1, which confuses people into thinking they need to spend money on two games first to get another one for free. What is a buy one, get one, like $20 indie games, Amplitude's on there, and a couple others. So if there's interesting stuff there, you might be able to get half off, essentially.
Yeah.
For two games.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, these all look good.
Yeah, they all do. And another Sony news. I think this is David Jaffe's project, Drawn to Death.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
April 4th, coming out as a PS Plus title.
That's probably the only way it was going to succeed. Because I talked about the beta, they were giving out codes, as many as they could. And
nobody cared.
Either nobody redeemed them or didn't play them. Because every time I logged on, it was single-digit players. Mm-hmm. Ouch!
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man. That's so harsh.
Find another way of shoving it in everybody's faces.
Yeah. Give it away as
wow.
a
I played it a couple times at a few cons. It's not great, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's probably why.
Yeah, and they talk about in this particular article, I have in like some single player stuff in here, Sphinx missions. Let's see, wake the mysterious Sphinx and see if you can solve her 8 battle focused riddles. For every riddle solved, a new weapon or a new level will be rewarded. So there's character centric missions, they got loot boxes, a tower mode. Just the Drawn to Death launch tower is based on the theme Dark Fairy Tales. If you play in ranked mode, you have a chance to reach the tower's top. Seems like you just play ranked mode and you reach new levels and then you get rewards at the end of the season.
Yeah.
They also got something else called the Insane Mystery Special Offer. I'm not at liberty to go into detail or spoil the surprise, but let me just say this. Destroy my enemies and my life is yours.
Okay.
So seems like there's some interesting stuff coming into it beyond just the like old school, I think it's 4-player multiplayer.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. We'll see how that goes in a couple weeks.
Yeah, a couple of weeks, we'll be able to download it and finally play it in a non-beta state. So.
Yeah.
We'll
the best thing about that game is the start, because it's FMV of like your kid in like a high school health class, and it just loops.
Okay.
Teacher talks. It's the best part of it that I saw.
Oh, that's maybe I don't
might
know.
Be worth it just for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Free PlayStation Plus FMV game. Yay. But anyways. Another Sony good news. This is actually good news. Horizon Zero Dawn sold 2.6 million so far.
First 2 weeks.
It's first two weeks, numbers. And it deserves
amazing.
It. It's a great game.
Yeah, this
they
is,
point this out as the best-selling new first-party IP launch on the PS4. Which I think the only thing that competes with that is Bloodborne.
Yep.
That's like 2.1, I think.
Yeah.
Still having a game with a female lead. Something that's very different for this team to make. Them to have such a huge launch is should be a big sign to people, hey, stop making games that just focus on men.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can make games with women and it doesn't have to be Lara Croft.
Nope.
Right.
So, yeah.
Also, that's... just stop making the same shit over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guerrilla Games did it.
Yeah.
And yeah, well, Zelda made, did it too.
They did it too, yeah. You know, Guerrilla Games made like, all of the kill zones, so.
Yeah.
Joy.
It's hardly even the sex thing because, I mean, I don't know how far I'm into the game, but they've never made a big deal about her being a woman. I mean, it's a pretty varied matriarchy, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have like people of different races in this one tribe, and that's not the reason why they're at war. So,
yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Though it's publishers that push that sort of stuff, which you know why, you know, Remember Me got denied a bunch.
Yeah.
Because it was a female lead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's good to see a game like this selling like really well. And, yeah, hopefully it will be an actual franchise for Sony going forward.
You don't. There is no doubt that it will be.
So
we got the Final Fantasy XII remaster, which is coming soon, and apparently you can spend $200 on it if you really want to.
Oh my god.
Yeah, we'll call back to the very first episode of Day Zero Update with that.
God.
Yeah, they got a collector's edition coming out that includes the game itself and this mini bus set with five bus of the five judges. And I don't know what it's made of, but I'm guessing that's your $200 right there.
Probably.
Yeah.
Why?
It's like a little soundtrack CD.
Because the judges are fucking badass designs, that's why.
Yeah.
Well, there is that. And, I don't know that I would want them looking at me the entire day.
That's also valid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, if
hey
you
guys,
want...
You thought FF15 broke the mode? Wait till you play 12 for $200.
Yeah. And this won't even have DLC, so that's good.
Oh, there is DLC in this.
Oh, god damn it.
There's a digital code to unlock the original soundtrack background music option in-game. I don't know what the
oh,
hell
come
that's
on.
About.
Really?
You can do that in the
As
car.
As opposed to the arrangements.
Just, okay, Square... No, you're looking for things to put in a collector's edition.
I honestly would not pay for that because 12 had one of the sleepiest downbeat soundtracks of any Final Fantasy game ever made.
Yeah, but okay. Now you can unlock it in a collector's edition. Or you could just buy the regular edition of the game and get the better music, so...
Hopefully.
Is the steelbook exclusive to the special edition?
Yes.
Yeah, it's special art just
no,
for that
the
version.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. There is a steelbook version that
yeah,
has
it's
only
a different
like...
bit of art on it, so...
Yeah. I just want a steelbook. That's
yeah.
Yeah, you can spend $50, I think, for a limited edition with the steelbook.
Okay, there you go. It's a whole lot better than two.
That includes that digital code to unlock the soundtrack in-game.
Okay, don't really care why.
So you don't have to spend $200 right. for the soundtrack.
No, that's good.
So
you just spend $50.
Yeah. All right. So next up, we got Rocket League is announcing a new drop shot mode, which looks just insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So essentially, instead of having goals, this takes place in an octagonal arena, and the ball has some sort of electric. Aspect to it, and depending on how many hits it gets with the cars keeping it off the ground, it'll power up. I think it's up to 3 states. When it hits the ground, it'll activate one of the panels on the floor.
Hmm.
And a second hit will destroy it, and there's your goal. So the more powerful will take out potentially more of those panels.
Hmm.
And, yeah, it's kind of a crazy mode. Definitely have to watch the trailer.
Mm.
It is nice and ridiculous. And it's sort of like, how else are they going to improve on this and make any other modes? Because right now it's basketball, hockey, and soccer.
Yeah.
Well, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
It's got this weird, dynamic, destructible flooring.
Mm. So... Yeah, they keep just coming up with the craziest, most interesting ideas for this game.
Yeah,
and it works.
Yep. This is out on March 22nd. This update includes new trophies and achievements and lots of customization stuff. And this is the end of the third competitive season, so they're going to be starting a new one coming up as well.
Mm.
And one reason to keep coming back in the midst of all these releases.
Yeah.
Rocket League wants all your time and attention.
Yeah, because it's got a lot of content to for you to play.
It's probably why I haven't started it yet.
Yeah. You're way behind.
Well, I'm thinking, for somebody who's just starting out, there's just, it might be a little bit overwhelming.
Just, yeah.
But you could play hockey with cars. I mean,
How
could you not like that? So,
the aforementioned time commitment is a big one.
Yeah, there's that too. So let's move on to Nintendo is doubling Switch production for 2017. This probably shouldn't surprise anybody.
No.
I'm guessing Foxconn looked at some of the early sales numbers and decided to go ahead with the original production request.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Continuity!
Yeah. I just wonder if this is maybe like initial launch pop and it maybe slows down afterwards. That's the concern, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't the same thing happen to the Wii U?
Yeah.
No, there was no initial launch rush.
No, it wasn't. The Wii had the launch rush.
Produce more of these Switches than they sold of the Wii U in 5 years.
Yeah.
And they only sold about 13.5 million Wii U's.
How good is it going to feel for them to get over the Wii U hump with the Switch sales?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but they're also, you know, they're also going directly up against the Wii, which was their, you know, their other big success. Yeah. So,
that is true.
I don't know.
And maybe I just saw that there are the new Tomorrow Corp games, World of Goo and all that. Those are actually controlled with the Joy-Cons in Wii Remote style mode.
Yeah, with the cursor, which makes the weird thing sense.
The pages for those games don't actually mention that.
Yeah.
It just says, oh, you can play it in tablet mode with the Joy-Cons. Like, okay, why don't you do the Pro Controller? Oh, that's why.
That's why.
It's using, like, Wii Remotes.
Why don't you use a touchscreen? Yeah. Oh, that's why.
That was my initial issue with Blaster Master Zero. It didn't have the Pro Controller support at launch, which is my main gripe with Nintendo even selling it in the first place. And
does it have it now?
Yeah. I don't know if it has it now yet, but I know that it was in the plans.
Hmm.
Yeah. They initially tried to get it out at launch, but it wasn't ready yet.
Yeah. So, well, at least it is coming, so you gotta at least give them props for that. You know.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for Star Fox Zero to be released without bullshit controls.
Yeah.
Which should absolutely be a part of the Wii U evacuation program that's going on.
Exactly.
At this point, I wonder if Star Fox Zero didn't just do so much damage to the Star Fox franchise that they might not go back to it. That's my big concern.
He's still an Avatar.
They'll just bring over that tower defense Star Fox game. Leave Zero over there.
That would be the ultimate insult.
Or maybe the ultimate face-saving move. Yeah, we know we messed up. We'll just leave it to die on this platform.
Yep.
We'll bring you the one thing that was at least decent.
But yeah, I'm glad Nintendo's taking this seriously and... No, they got a success on their hands, it looks like. If the momentum continues, then they could be looking at a very successful console.
They say they're going to go ahead and double production, but any idea when we start seeing more in stores?
I'm guessing
there's supposed to be another wave here at the end of the month.
Yeah.
I mean, ideally, these would all become readily available once Mario Kart comes out, because that's another seller.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mario Kart is in, a couple of weeks, so I think the next wave will hit before that.
Yeah,
Mario Kart's due at the end of the month, and then when I watched the trailer, I was like, okay, I'm down to go ahead and spend another $60 on a game I already have because it looks pretty damn good.
Are they adding any new courses to it, or?
They said that they'd have the 47 that we already had at launch, so that leaves the door open for more to come in.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think the only thing new things they're adding is just due to the revamped battle mode.
Yeah,
it's the battle mode. Now you can use two items.
Still, I mean, it's Mario Kart again.
Yep.
So, that's the thing.
Two out of five interesting new characters.
Yeah.
The two Splatoon characters.
Yeah. So, moving on, we got interesting emulation news. There was a Primal Rage 2 prototype that surfaced a few years back. That's
It was better than the first game.
It wasn't that much better, but yeah, it was. It's been dumped and it's now playable. And yeah, you can download it and you can play it and you can realize why it was canceled. So, yeah,
that's a thing.
There's not a whole lot to say about that. Just download it and try it, and then it's unfinished. It's just chunky. It's not great,
but it is playable.
Yeah,
it was fun when I was seven.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those who don't know, the thing with the sequel Primal Rage is that in this one they went from giant dinosaurs to giant shapeshifters for some weird reason.
Yeah.
That doesn't really make any sense.
You gotta beef up the lore.
Yeah. There's a lot of that.
Everybody cared about the lore back then.
Yeah.
But, the thing is, the stop motion animation thing they had going, it worked for the dinosaurs because it has that whole Ray Harryhausen thing going for it.
Yeah.
So it actually looks really good.
Yeah.
But they have these weird clay models for the... Just look at it.
Yeah.
It looks really awkward.
Yeah, it's not good. So, yeah. But, hey, it is a part of history. It was a game that was canceled that has surfaced again, so...
Yeah.
Those don't come very often.
Yeah.
So.
It's what I call an O game.
Yeah.
You
Especially not in a version that's attacked.
You say O, and then you put it down and never look at it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Oh.
Like you just have that moment of dawning realization. It's like, yeah, this is where... Yeah.
So that's why it got canceled. Happened. Yeah. So in other fighting game news, we got another KOF 14 character announcement, which should surprise nobody, as it's Ryuji Yamazaki.
Yep.
Probably the most obvious of the silhouette characters unveiled by SNK when they first started talking about DLC characters. This one will be a good throwback for fans of Capcom versus SNK, as Yamazaki was fairly solid in that series.
Yeah, he was also one of the more glaring omissions to the KOF 14 roster.
Yes.
So, good that he'll be back. So
I expect he will be fairly popular in tournament circles as well.
Yeah. Yeah, assuming they allow DLC characters, which I wouldn't put it past them.
They in KOF there's already a history of supporting that in tournaments, so
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, KOF 13 opened the door for that. I'm sure there are people who would say that KOF 13 would have been better without Mr. Karate. But he was part of the competitive environment, and
yeah,
there was never really any serious discussion about banning him, so
yeah.
So, we'll wait for more info on the third DLC character, which should be being announced any time now. So
yeah, they're moving him at a pretty good clip.
Yeah.
By the way, Mr. Karate is the dude who wears the Tengu mask, right?
Right.
It's Ryo's dad.
Takuma. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Takuma is a giant dork.
Yeah.
So.
Despite also being a complete badass when he wants to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. All right. And in the Take My Money Now file, Capcom has announced the Disney Afternoon Collection for PS4 and PC.
So you got the DuckTales game, you got the Tailspin game, the Rescue Rangers game, and the Darkwing Duck game.
Yeah, that's four, but there's two more.
Yeah, there's others too. We're not going to spoil them for you, though.
Yeah,
they're just sequels to the Chip and Dale and DuckTales games.
Yeah,
yep.
And I should point out that DuckTales 2 is super rare, so this is actually probably a really good way of getting it.
Yeah,
finding a in box or even a loose cartridge of DuckTales 2 on the NES is really hard. So
I didn't even know they had a part 2.
Yep. That's how rare it is. Most people didn't know that it existed. So it came out at pretty late in the NES's life cycle. So, yeah, didn't
Capcom USA was on fire at that point.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah.
They had some new stuff to them too. They had Rewind.
Yeah.
So you can not die horrible deaths constantly.
Yeah.
Which tend to happen in DuckTales.
And
often.
And time attack modes. So you can sort of compete against other people, and a boss rush mode.
Because there are leaderboards as well. Has to have a boss rush mode.
Yes.
Yep.
Although this is Capcom, creators of boss rush mode with their Mega Man stuff.
Yeah. So, but yeah, take my money. I will buy this because
I think it's $20.
$20.
You see, kids,
six games.
Life. It's like a hurricane.
Am I the only one who's surprised that this isn't coming to the Switch?
It's probably more of just logistics.
Yeah.
They probably had this in the plans for a while.
Yeah. No, I don't see any reason that this couldn't be on the Switch, so it's just a matter of time. Capcom's got that Street Fighter game on the Switch that they need to finish up. You're saying that, Reb?
I'm surprised Kingdom Hearts isn't a Nintendo exclusive, so...
Yeah.
The game has to exist first before it can be exclusive.
Yeah. I'm just saying, all this Disney stuff makes sense.
Right. Yeah. So, another Capcom news. The Street Fighter V 2.1 balance update details have come out. And I can kind of summarize this. I don't know if you agree, Pat, but this is the we done fucked up patch.
It's what an apology looks like. I'm thrilled with the direction they took with it. They realize you cannot nerf your way to success.
Exactly.
At least not on the scale that they were trying to.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to start playing Ryu again.
Yeah. There's some highlights that you want to...
Oh.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but...
Oh, I can take a look. It's been a couple days since I really combed over them. But... Alex got some good buffs. Just a little bit of, just a couple extra frames here and there that probably go a long way for him, honestly.
Yeah.
I can tell you Vega's stock is going to go up considerably. A lot of frame stuff there, a lot of hitbox stuff. Geef is about to gain considerable stock.
yeah. Extra this damage is, boost on crouching opponents? Yeah, that's going to go
That's
far.
What it reads like. They don't explicitly say that, but they call it a new move when he does his normal or his neutral or forward throw on a crouching opponent. It'll come out differently. That usually means that there's some kind of damage bonus. So it's very Virtua Fighter in nature.
Did they unnerf the wake-ups?
That's what, like I said, people are going to start playing Ryu again. They actually didn't limit it to Ryu. It was, let me see if I can find the list here. Ryu, Ken, Akuma, Kami, and Juri. They got their anti-airs fixed.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like a pretty good update, and it's, when is it scheduled to roll?
Let's see.
I think it's soon.
End of April.
Okay. So you have to just kind of deal with how Street Fighter V is right now for another month. Oh, cheers. Good. Yeah, because, I play Ryu, Ken, and Kami, so yeah, that's kind of a problem.
That's important to you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We could do what I did and just play Geef until it all blows over.
Yeah, I can't deal with this 360s. It's just, doesn't work for me. But, well, at least Rashid is pretty good, so I can probably use him.
That's true. This actually reads, looking at some of the character changes, this actually reads like a Street Fighter V Champion Edition, because there are actual new moves being put on the table here, especially for Geef. Geef gets 3 new moves, so...
They're not really calling it anything like that, though. They're just
calling it out as a... They're right there in the notes. It says, Harsho Choke Slam, new move, neutral forward throw, flying headbutt, new move. It's not really new because it's been around since Champion Edition, but he gets it back. I hope it does all the stun that it used to. And then Tundra Storm, which is a legitimate new move. It seems like a again, very Virtua Fighter in nature, because it's a Sabaki against horizontal angled kicks. So that's very specific. But yeah, somebody on this team is a Virtua Fighter fan.
Yeah. So, yeah, good stuff. And we'll continue on with, well, people are terrible.
Yeah, so yeah. As everybody knows, we brought this up earlier in the show. Mass Effect Andromeda comes out this Tuesday. There has been some, I'm just going to say it, overreaction to the facial animations on some of the characters. Been blown way out of proportion. And as everybody who has been in the game field for the last decade knows, BioWare probably has the most toxic fan base of any of the big AAA developers. Probably even worse than Blizzard. And it really started to happen right around the time Dragon Age 2 came out. And it just got worse and worse from there.
Yeah.
You know, and then after Mass Effect 3 came out and we had, you know, the controversy over the ending, we already saw how badly some of the worst parts of their fan base can turn on BioWare. Well, game's not even out yet. And already people are freaking harassing supposed members of BioWare who they think are responsible for the facial animations.
Yeah, this specific person works at their motion capture labs in Vancouver, which I believe is the same building as BioWare Montreal. Or no,
that would be the other side of the country.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that just makes it even stupider.
Yeah.
She doesn't even work in the same part of the country. Doesn't work in the same developer.
Yeah.
But they assume that she had something to do with it, so guess what? They decided, let's harass the hell out of her.
Yep. Yeah.
Make an example of her, whatever stupid reason. I guess Ralph Retort is attached to this whole thing. Guess what? That's Gamergate right there.
Yep.
Shocking.
Yeah.
And I was playing the EA Access early trial, and it's a little bit weird. That's BioWare. That's been BioWare since Knights of the Old Republic. Their tech is not perfect, and it creates characters that look a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Their priorities are just a little bit different.
Yeah. And for the record, read the comment thread underneath on that. We linked to the article. It's on Kotaku. Yeah. And there is a couple of people down there in the comments who are themselves developer, and they basically show that, you know, the data is there, but apparently there's just maybe some small bugs in the coding somewhere so that some of the expressions come off a little weird. And that's something that can be fixed very easily.
Yeah, that's sort of the probably thing that... the most normal thing on Earth for this part of the development cycle.
Yeah. I mean, we know the game's getting a day one patch. Probably not going to fix the animations on that one.
No,
but probably
that's
the one
already
coming afterwards.
Yeah.
It's really not difficult. Seriously, it's not that difficult to fix.
It's also not that big a deal.
Yeah.
The sort of thing that is just a result of them trying to finish the game.
Yeah.
They don't have the time to iron out every little thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let me just ask you, Chris. So you've been doing the first 10 hours for EA Early Access.
Yeah.
Do they really look that bad? Because I've been watching people stream it, and it doesn't look nearly as bad as people are making it out to be.
No, it looks like a Mass Effect game, which from the beginning have always been a little bit buggy, a little bit weird.
Well, it's always had that sort of
faux
Pixar-esque look to it.
Yeah, and
I always found charming, so yeah. I mean...
it looks fine.
Yeah.
It's obviously not like polished to the degree that like Naughty Dog or Guerrilla Games have done in the past year or so. But that's not typically what BioWare obsesses about.
No. Really BioWare is all about the writing.
Yeah.
Writing and the gameplay. That's the two things they do they focus the most on.
Yeah.
And
I just find it hilarious, the running animation, because there's actual momentum to it. So if you go sprinting off down a hallway and you want to do a 180, she kind of, depending on whoever you choose, she or he, takes a little bit to stop and then turn around.
Yeah. Cause,
which like, makes it's sense. Mosaics.
Realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, before we move on, I just want to say, John Walker over at Rock Paper Shotgun, you can go fuck yourself.
What's he been doing?
Did you see his like first few hours of Mass Effect that he did on his website?
No.
He basically shits all over the game for being a Mass Effect game.
Well, that's a huge surprise. It's a Mass Effect game.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously he makes light of the facial animations again, but he also is like, in the first few hours, I'm inundated with dialogue. I'm like, it's a freaking Mass Effect game.
Yeah, I saw somebody on a random forum basically saying it's a generic. It looks generic, unlike the Mass Effect games. Like, so it looks like the other Mass Effect games.
Exactly. And also, I just wanted, just for the record, John Walker is kind of a shit stirrer. I mean, this is the same guy who said he preferred the old Mass Effect 3 ending, and also said Witcher 3 is a bad game.
Okay.
So he's a troll.
Yeah, he's basically the Armand White of gaming critics.
He looks to be the contrarian troll.
Yeah. It's also made me realize that, you know, numbered reviews are maybe kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
He writes them, probably.
Yeah.
And I hate that we have to end with this, but we may as well.
We have to, because I mean, we don't like to get political on this particular show. I mean, we save most of that for
Let's weekend.
And even then, we try to keep it to a minimum.
Yeah.
No, we didn't this week.
No, we
didn't really have much of a choice this week. But in this case, it involves a very prominent person in the gaming and YouTube community. And because it's just so off the pale and frankly, just kind of flabbergast a lot of people. But yeah, so you guys can probably already guess who it is. We're talking about JonTron, a.k.a. John Jafari.
Who, as far as I can tell, has lost his mind.
Yeah, he has completely gone off the frickin' deep end. So this already kind of, he was already kind of on thin ice right around the time that the Women's March happened. And then he went on, I think it was Sargon of Akkad's show.
Oh.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing was, I think if that had been that one part and he had just moved on, I don't think anybody would have, it would have been a one thing, and then everybody would have maybe forgotten about it, and, you know, I mean, and the thing is, John doesn't even seem like the type of guy who wants to press the issue. He did like a Q&A thing recently on his site because, you know, he hasn't made a video in a couple of months.
I wonder why.
Yeah, and he basically, I mean, he's like, look, man, I don't like to get political and I didn't really mean to offend anybody and I'm sorry if I did. I don't like and I don't intend on this channel to really get like that. And if that was the case, if he had just done that, it would have all been fine. All right. I would have disagreed maybe with some of his politics, and that's fine. You know, it's a free country.
Mm-hmm.
But then this bullshit happened. All right, so Chris, you go ahead and
sum this up.
Well, so we know from, if you listen to Let's Weekend, that there's an Iowa representative named Steve King who decided to take out all the pretense of what he's been saying and say, you know, I'm completely racist. We need to get rid of all the non-white people out of this country.
Yeah.
And John basically said, Let's see, his tweet here is, wow, how scandalous. Steve King doesn't want his country invaded by people who have contempt for his culture and people. Nazi.
Yeah. And then, here's the thing, that was that one tweet, and then he was asked to, there was a debate that he was doing.
Yeah.
It was with, who was it?
I'm Destiny? Trying
to, yeah, with Destiny.
That is and a he,
and you
Twitch
think,
streamer named Destiny.
Yeah. And so you're thinking, you'd think maybe John would be like, okay, I didn't, okay, maybe I communicated myself wrong, you know, this is what I meant. Oh no, he doubled down and went even further.
Yep. And it's sort of one of those crazy things to see. It's like, oh, okay, that's a bit weird.
Basically saying great, that Mexicans like, are trying to make independent enclaves so they can give it back to Mexico. White people are facing a demographics problem and becoming a minority.
Just like apartheid South Africa.
All this crazy sort of camp of the state, white nationalist shit. And the thing I want to say is, John, have you looked in a freaking mirror lately?
He's half Iranian, half
Yes, American. His dad is from Iran. He yeah. is the child of an immigrant.
Basically saying he shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
That's basically what he's saying, yes.
I mean, look at his last name. That's a Persian last name, John Jafari.
Yeah.
He should be in Agrabah.
And this is the guy who's preaching about the evils of multiculturalism in America.
Yeah, somebody who is multicultural.
Yeah. Genetically multicultural.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
the whole thing with this is that he is a huge YouTuber.
Oh yeah.
And a million. Lot of his audience, much like PewDiePie, are children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who don't know any better. And there's a great comment in this particular article. I recently visited my girlfriend's aunt, uncle, and her nephews. The kids are the only ones who play video games in their whole family, so I have a pretty good rapport with them. We're sitting there chatting about stupid little kid stuff. They're 9 and 11. And they start talking about bashing Jews and laughing about Hitler. I tell them, no, that's obviously not something to joke about. Do they know who Hitler was? Who'd you hear this from? Yada, yada. They've learned all this stupidity from these dumb fucking YouTube Minecraft streamers and repeat it mindlessly. They, edit meaning the kids, obviously have no idea how offensive they were being. We talked about it and I think, hope, they have a better idea, but think about how many children are out there learning all this horrible shit like it's normal. It's just in the same stream of consciousness as John Cena jokes, fart noises, and then suddenly you're mocking Jews and Christ's country really is going to fall apart in the next 4 years, isn't it? And he has an edit before you ask. No, they don't do this around their parents. No, the parents don't really prescreen every single video these kids watch on YouTube. They're blue-collar Trump people themselves who work all the time and see video games on the screen, so it isn't a red flag. Yes, I'm trying to be the best influence I can be.
And see, that's like one of the things that PewDiePie himself just does not understand. You know, when you have an audience as large as he does, like it or not, you do have a certain responsibility to present yourself in a certain manner.
Yeah.
And, you know, I admit that, you know, it's not necessarily ideal. I mean, it does kind of suck that you have to constantly watch yourself like that in public. But at some point, we have to – some of these people really do have to realize at some point when your audience gets to that size and a very large chunk of it is children, it is true. You have to be careful.
And you're essentially a role model at that point.
Yeah, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And either way, it's still kind of an asshole thing to joke about the Holocaust and shit.
Yeah.
There's still plenty of survivors around.
Yeah. Not something you should be making light of.
I mean, it's the shit's in living memory, dude.
Yeah. So
there are people out there still alive, still have the numbers tattooed on their arms, okay? And people who, you know, their grandchildren will ask them, and then they'll break down into tears because...
Because it was horrible shit.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest, there's a part of me that thinks that John actually doesn't believe half of this shit, like, deep down. I think it's what's happened is that he has somehow gotten into this circle of friends. Like, John is in the YouTube gamer community. He has been for at least since 2013, 2014. Him and Aaron started doing Game Grumps. Which, by the way, I just want to say, I really kind of feel bad for Aaron Hansen right now because...
Oh, God.
Even though, JonTron left Game Grumps. He went off and started his own thing. They don't even live on the same side of the country anymore. Hmm. And no matter what, he's still going to get shit for this.
Yeah.
Intrinsically tied to it.
Yeah. And for the record, Aaron is probably doing the smart thing right now, which is he is completely ignoring it and doing his best to act like it isn't happening.
Yeah, there's no need to fan the flames.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not... The last time he did anything with John was that cameo he did on John's Starcadia. So, that's it. That's the last time they've been seen together, basically.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to be honest. I don't think that JonTron is a bad guy. All right. He seems like a really nice guy. And, I mean, he's done stuff for charity and stuff. And I think what's happened is since he's in that circle of YouTube gamers, some of those YouTube gamers happen to subscribe to that bullshit philosophy, and he might have just gotten wrapped up
in the crowd.
He's basically in over his head, and I really do think he could turn it around very easily if he had just a little, if somebody woke him up and just gave him a little bit of a kernel of self-reflection on his part, he would probably figure out how bullshit all of this is. But
that mentalities like that would have died out a long time ago if it wasn't for socially predatory practices. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm not familiar enough with him to say whether he would be someone who's susceptible to that, but it certainly is one sound explanation among many.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as far as I know, though, none of this stuff has actually ever filtered into his YouTube videos.
Oh, it never has. In fact, there's been some of his YouTube videos seem to show the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Like, he did a whole thing at the, like, when he did one of his videos entirely around Barbie games. He actually made a joke about systemic oppression at the very beginning.
Yeah.
Which would seem to imply the exact opposite of all the shit he's talking about now.
Yeah. So
maybe he's the one dicking with them.
He's suffered for this, though, because he's lost a shit ton of subscribers on YouTube, and that's his bread and butter.
I believe it.
Yeah. Also, keep in mind, it's not just him. You know, John is the head of Normal Boots, and there's a bunch of other people that work below him. You got guys like Peanut Butter Gamer and other guys like that work with Normal Boots.
They're huge.
Yeah. And John's actions reflect on them, whether they unfortunately want it or not.
They got a comment at the end of the article from, somebody with Digino Gaming. It says that Normal Boots is a collection of a bunch of channels, including John. He doesn't own them. Though we noted that Jafari sometimes did voiceover work and other stuff for them. Yeah. I personally don't see any reason anybody working on Digino Gaming should be involved in this.
Yeah.
Not actually speaking out against it, but...
Basically, they're pointing out is, look, we work with the guy. you know, we all sort of belong to the same, you know, content collective and everything, but we're not, you know, what we don't, he doesn't own us, we're not, he isn't the boss.
And who among us has not had an asshole coworker at one time or another in their lives?
But the sad truth of the matter is, it's still going to reflect on them.
Yep. Yeah. You can say the views expressed by blah, blah, blah.
Do not necessarily reflect normal boots or normal boots, blah, 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 blah. But,
yeah, but it's still,
it still happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially it seems like a lot of YouTubers are coming out in support of him.
Of course they are, because YouTube is a fucking cesspool.
And trying to pin this as, oh, the old media is just trying to get back at us.
Now, see, you could have maybe used that excuse for PewDiePie.
Yeah.
But PewDiePie was just telling jokes, no matter how off-color and bad they may be.
He's being clearly ironic.
Yeah. John, on the other hand, is making it fairly clear that and unless he's like deep trolling the alt-right, that this is shit he actually believes. So
yeah, he put out a release statement video.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird calling that a statement, but essentially he just kind of doubles down on it.
Yeah,
tries to change some of the language, but otherwise isn't really changing much of what he's saying.
Nope.
And one of the things I've seen sort of related to this is there's at one point in Giant Bomb where they were doing videos. I forget what the game was, but Ryan Davis used the F word, faggot, in the video, and immediately recognized it was a huge mistake. And like just his opening statement here, ladies and gentlemen, during tonight's Lantern Run, I made a terrible mistake with my language. When I immediately recognized it's hurtful, embarrassing, just categorically inappropriate. Both personally and professionally, Giant Bomb has certainly been known to work blue, but that kind of language simply has no place on Giant Bomb and, frankly, in the world at large. Not now, not ever. I was shocked myself when it came tumbling out. It instantly felt like the worst piece of shit in the world. Context is meaningless because that word comes with too much of its own hurtful baggage to ever possibly justify.
Yeah.
It's like that's how you account for the hateful shit you say.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Not
that's Ryan Davis.
Yeah. There's a reason why people still mourn his death to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And people are just pissed at how stupid JonTron is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
for the record, I have basically unsubscribed from him. And I don't intend on watching any of his content until he
cleans this up.
Turns around, or just shuts his fucking trap.
Yeah, he's entered into the Orson Scott Card category of content creator for me.
Yeah, what makes it dangerous is, like the comment said earlier, the parents just see video game footage and think there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. See the, you know, just vile crap being spewed.
They don't hear the hateful shit that the kids are learning and picking up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, anyways, well, it sucks to end on a downer, but okay, that's how we're gonna do it this week.
Yeah.
Hey, we got Mass Effect this week to play.
Yeah, Mass Effect coming up Tuesday. Yay!
There
we go.
Yeah.
Alien orgies. Woo!
Yeah. I've heard they go much deeper into that stuff.
It's no longer partial nudity.
it's all there now.
All the great blue alien tits you could ever desire.
I wonder which news network will get upset about that, like the original Mass Effect.
I would like to say that they kind of learned their lesson on that one.
Yeah.
No.
Considering how badly it came to bite them in the ass. But this is also Fox News we're talking about, so.
So yeah, I'm sure somebody will get upset by it. But anyways, so I think we're going to call it a show for this week. As usual.
Yeah, before we sign off, I do have to apologize to Mike because during the old time hockey segment, my mic cut out, so I'm not even sure exactly how much of that I was audibly there for. And then when I had to reboot my computer and sign back on, I just highlighted the conversation in Skype and hit join call, which, from what it looked like, also tried to bring him back into the call. So I screwed up. I'm sorry about that. And,
yeah. I see. You left at 2:35.
Yeah.
After you come back in. I feel bad about that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, subscribe, check us out on Facebook, we're on iTunes, we're on all the things, yep. Go ahead and subscribe to that. The links will be down at the bottom of the article if you want to check us out.
All right.
Yeah, so with that, I'm Filippo D'Adolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And I'm Dan Rebic Victoria.
Go play some hockey.